Faith Over Fear is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Faith Over Fear podcast, where we attack our most pervasive fears with truth. Because life is too short for any of us to live enslaved. We are passionate about helping God's children live in freedom. We would love to chat with you online or on social media. Visit our show notes to learn how to connect with us. I'm Jennifer Slattery.
And I'm Kimmy Miller.
And we want to live more consistently connected with, surrendered to, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to learn how to do that because life is too hard, it's too confusing, and many times too frightening for us to ever try to navigate it alone. And our mission, frankly, is far too important for us to rely on our wisdom and our strength. But the good news is we don't have to. In fact, Scripture commands us not to, not when, as followers of Christ, we have been given full and constant access to the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That is mind-blowing. And can you imagine what our lives, our relationships, and our ministries would be like, what our world would be like if we truly believed and received all that the Holy Spirit has for us?
Right, because when we're talking about Holy Spirit, we can be reminded of what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
And I love how that verse kind of, it shows two sides to what I would call our freedom walk, right? We need to reject what isn't from God. He hasn't given us confusion and fear and stress and all of this gunk. Instead, he gives us power and a sound mind. He gives us self-control. He gives us love. And so I think sometimes it's just this daily practice of learning to recognize what God has and hasn't given us, and then rejecting what he hasn't and holding tight to what he has.
Absolutely.
So in context, Paul was writing during a really challenging time in history, during a lot of persecution, and Timothy had been left with this job of leading this conglomerate of churches that we know had just a lot of gunk going on. We know there was false teaching, and I am assuming because Timothy was coming against false teaching, or it was at least tasked to come against false teaching with truth. So I'm going to assume there was opposition for him, spiritual opposition, relational opposition, political, just church, you know, sometimes churches can get kind of political.
Right.
And he probably had just external pressures and internal pressures. And I'm sure he just sometimes wanted to just kind of hide out. And I love in the surrounding verses, Paul said, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And then the verse you read, and then he said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." And the three phrases that really stood out to me was, "For this reason," pointing back, you've got what you need. You've got genuine faith. Kindle afresh what God has placed within you, according to the power of God. Don't we need that reminder sometimes?
Oh, all the time. I think sometimes we often forget that we still have a responsibility to, as Paul reminds us, rekindle that fire. I love that idea because if you don't tend to a fire, it will go out, right? It's going to burn itself out. But God wants us to keep our gifts burning stronger for him. So there is a responsibility on our part to do that. But again, he's going to give us everything we need through his own power.
And I love this quote from David Guzik of The Enduring Word. He said, "Some are waiting for some dramatic new anointing from God, and God is waiting for them to stir up what he's already given them." And I feel like sometimes that's me too, right?
Yes.
Whether it's fear that holds, usually it's fear that will hold me back. And especially relational fear. I don't like people to dislike me or to misjudge me. And so I can really pull back on what God is calling me to do. And then I'm not really living empowered by Him. And I think we have to remember when we live out our calling, whatever God is calling us to do, whether it's our calling as a mom or to be a teacher or to maybe act as a peacemaker in a situation or as an advocate, we will face opposition. And for me, most of that opposition is internal. And that's why I have to really fight my battle internally as far as really focusing, like bringing it back to how we started with what is from God and what isn't from God, and what am I going to choose to hold tight to?
Right. And we've been given that power to take control of our thoughts, right? To take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We have the power to cast out fear and to hold tight to truth. Power to love those that are difficult to love. I cannot tell you how many times I've said, Jesus, just love them through me. I can't do it today. Just love them through me. Or times when I'm suffering from anxiety, I battle depression, and I find myself trying to do things with willpower when only Holy Spirit power is going to give me that breakthrough.
And you know, that's such a good point. So when my OCD was really bad, and I'm talking just like I was completely enslaved by it, and I would have these moments where I would just sing out loud and loud. I'm not loud because I just felt so oppressed, I guess. I mean, I just felt like the battle was so strong. And in that moment, I would just have such peace. And so for me in that place during that time, that was pretty constant for me. That was my battle cry. And I was like, you know what? If I have to sing all day long out loud, now I was home. Now, if you're walking down the street or if you're a teacher, you might have to kind of be careful how you do that. But again, it was just, I couldn't do it on my own.
Right.
And I couldn't even convince myself of truth on my own because I knew intellectually truth, but my anxiety was just too strong in that moment. And so by the prayer and the song and the praise, it reminded me I was in God's presence because I was anyway, but it helped my soul connect with Him in that moment.
I believe that. And I think, again, when we rely on willpower to do what only Holy Spirit power can do, it's like we're stuck on this wheel and we keep trying and eventually we just get burnt out. So again, it comes back to He's giving us power to do everything that He has put before us. And sometimes when we find ourselves struggling or on that wheel, we also have to take a step back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to be doing here? And I think He will help guide us in those situations.
And I especially love, I'm going to point everyone back to the episode on letting God be your good shepherd, because you shared a story in there of how you were in a time of fruitful ministry and you felt God's anointing for that particular role, not for you as a Christian, for that particular role, you felt that lift.
Sure.
And you could have stayed.
Absolutely. I could have stayed.
In your own strength.
Mm-hmm.
In your own power.
Right.
And where would your joy have been?
That's exactly. And I think sometimes this is where the relationship with Holy Spirit is so intimate, right? It has to be, because we can get caught up in doing good things for God often, and God will use those things. Absolutely. But when we're doing it in our own power, in our own strength, sometimes we have to check our pride, because who are we doing it for at that point? Are we doing it to be the superwoman that can do all things? For me? Or am I saying, you know what, God, I can't do this without your help. And then you get to this place where you realize maybe I shouldn't be doing this at all. And that can be a scary place. But when you have that relationship with Holy Spirit, when you're dependent on His power and His love and His presence, there's that peace again, right? So oftentimes we think, well, how do I know that's Holy Spirit? Well, it's the peace. Oftentimes when I don't know what to do, if I have peace, I know I'm good. But if there's an inkling of fear, right, or I'm going crazy, there's chaos, I'm angry, all those things for me are indicators of, whoa, 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 these are not characteristics of God. So I know that I've got to still my heart and just turn back to Him and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What do you want to tell me? And I think, Jennifer, when we talk about Holy Spirit and hearing from him, some people are like, well, I don't know if that's God. How do I know that that's him? I mean, have you ever encountered that? Or
absolutely, yeah.
So how do we know? Well, does it sound like God? And what I mean by that is it scriptural? Is it in the Bible? Does this sound like the characters of him? Is it love? When we encounter those things, then we can be confident that it is of God. Because if we have the sound mind and we have the love, then we have the power too.
Speaking, I've been lately just contemplating effective people in history, like the most effective people in history. And I've been reading their statements, their prayers, their biographies, autobiographies. And one in particular is Billy Graham. Well, Andrew Murray is one, mm-hmm. and then Billy Graham is another, and George Mueller is another. Like, I could go on. But one thing they all had in common was a deeply, deeply connected spiritual life, a deep dependence on the Holy Spirit. And I think it was a two-part, a deep dependence on the Holy Spirit, and then also they weren't in it for themselves. I think that was hugely important as well. But I'm reading this book, and it was written by Billy Graham, and he told a story about how he had this revival. It was supposed to be a 3-week revival. And it gets, I don't know if it had been like 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, and he just felt through prayer like that he needed to extend it to not 4 weeks, not 5 weeks, 8 weeks.
Crazy. I just think that's crazy.
Yeah, and I know you're a speaker.
Right.
I'm a speaker. And usually like 3 to 4 keynotes, that's about my max.
Sure.
And I can't imagine. And so I read that, and they extended it to 8 weeks. And people said it was the greatest revival since Billy Sunday, which was back in like, he's known as like one of the best evangelists of all time. And he lived like in the 1820s. And I thought, you know, how did he do that? How did he have the content for every night? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, I don't want to say the same thing over and over.
Right.
How did he have the strength? How did he have just the clarity of mind? And one thing he said later in his book is, you know, he was like, well, I wasn't the best speaker. And if you asked anybody, I kind of talked in circles and I did this and I did that. And it just really hit me. He wasn't caught up in how well he did. All he cared about was that Jesus Christ was glorified and he was going to be obedient to Jesus Christ. You talked about our pride, right? I think if it had, I hate to say this, I think if it had been me, I would have been like, no, I will look like an idiot.
I don't think you're alone there.
I'll be in front of like all these people and I don't know what to say,
right?
And I'm going to sound really stupid. And I wondered how many times, and so we're in ministry together. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, we're walking together this new, I'm going to be busy in the fall.
Right.
I'm going back to school and I write and, you know, the podcast and all the things. And I want to prepare ahead, right, for all of these things. And it really struck me today. I've been kind of sitting on how often do I prepare away the Holy Spirit?
Oh, that's good.
And one reason I was talking with another team member, trying to help her balance too, because everybody's super busy, right? And helping her balance, not being afraid to drop balls. I think that's so important as a leader, as a mom, I don't care what your role is. And speaking to her about, well, if we always run in to catch the ball, we're never going to know how God's going to, like the miracle that he's going to perform. And I have to remind myself of that. And it's like, wait, what did you say earlier about how what is of God and what isn't of God and kind of wrestling that out?
Right. Well, and I was thinking, even as you were talking about Billy Graham, you know, to suddenly decide, we're going to do this for 8 weeks. There's no way you could do that without the peace of God. Right? Like you said, and I would feel the same way. If I was panicked, that would be my normal reaction anyway. Like, wait, what are we doing? We're doing this longer. So there had to have been that peace, right? And I believe, as you said, totally dependent on Holy Spirit, totally just devoted. And God, I'm only going where you are, right? I'm reminded of when Peter says to Jesus, where else would we go? For you alone have the words of life. Amen. And so to think I believe that was his heart's cry. And I long for that to be my own, I'm not going where you're not God, period. I will only follow you. I will do what you ask of me. And I think that peace is what confirms that. I know for me that that's the confirming factor, is if it's that peace of God, I know that Holy Spirit is within me. And I think in those moments when we have that peace, that's where we are, right? We are dependent on the power of the Spirit. That's when we're in that place of like, I'm not afraid. Nope. I know who's in me. And that is what makes the difference. And that's what changes worlds and friendships and relationships. And, you know, Jennifer, you talked about the relational turmoil, or how did you phrase that? Relational.
That works.
Yep. I'm the same way. I'm a recovering people pleaser. And so if I have an inkling that someone doesn't like me or I upset them somehow, I will lay awake at night and replay that whole conversation in my head, and all the things. And we can't beat ourselves up over that. And sometimes people hurt us. And I've been in places where I want to tell somebody how you hurt me and what you should have done differently and how you're going to make it better. In fact, I remember very distinctly, one day I was in my kitchen and I was putting dishes away and I was like, God, just give me a moment. I will tell them. And I just felt him or heard him say to me, you don't trust my spirit.
Mm.
Do you believe that I'm in that person? Do you believe that person is obedient to my spirit? Yes, Father. Then do you think that I can tell them whatever it is they need to know? Yes, Daddy. Yes. You know, it was just this moment. But in that moment too, peace, right? And repentance of, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was trying to be God in the moment and did make things the way I think they should be. And then recognizing, oh, wait, no. And so I think sometimes we have to remember that, right? The same spirit in me is the same spirit in you, the same spirit in Jesus Christ. I mean, that is incredible. And oftentimes you'll meet somebody on the street and you'll just have this connection, right? And I believe it's Holy Spirit in me recognizing Holy Spirit in you instantly. Mm-hmm. And then you just know sometimes. You're like, oh, I know they're a believer.
Yeah. We're sisters.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think moving forward in the spirit, I know when to step and when to stay because of the peace.
Mm-hmm. And I think you brought up a good point is, you know, that conversation you had, and basically he's asking, do you trust me?
Right.
And the more we recognize his character, the more we understand his heart, and the more we truly believe, and I know you and I had talked about this on another conversation, how often we treat Jesus's words like hyperbole. Mm-hmm. He said, I came to give you a filled overflowing life, like a beyond your best expectations life. I came to give you my joy. I came to give you a peace that surpasses understanding. And we're like, yeah, we say that, but yeah, really? Like, is that what you really want for me? Or do you just want me to suffer? And so I think for me, I have to challenge myself constantly to say, okay, what are my emotions right now and my perspectives? What are they saying that I believe about God? And then, and no condemnation in that. That's just an invitation to go deeper and to say, help me see you as love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I really believe that you love me deeply and want what's best for me, then you're going to take care of this. And you brought up a, you know, relationally, my husband and I, when we were first married, our marriage was a mess in every sense of the word. In fact, we were actually in a divorce lawyer's office talking like child custody and visitation and all those things. And I was a believer. I didn't realize it at this time. He was not. He went to church and but he didn't know Jesus personally, and that was a big part of the tension we felt. But I came home and I knew that it was not going to be okay with God if I left. And I was mad. And I'm like, God, you just want me to be miserable for the rest of my life. And I just really believe, like, you just want me to stay in this miserable marriage. But I stayed. And I told him, like, you're going to have to do it for me because I can't do that. And I was being flippant, right? You do this for me because I'm done. Mm-hmm. I think that was really what he wanted to hear. He's like, okay, good. Thank you.
Right? It's like, thank you. I just needed you out of the way so that I could do what I want to do.
That's exactly right. Oh my goodness. That was so much, so true. Is he really needed me out of the way so he could work on my husband. But fast forward, and my husband and I were just talking about this the other day. We had a lot of hard work and we had a lot of hard years to get through. We hurt each other deeply with our words and with our actions, and we both had so much baggage we brought in. If not for following the Holy Spirit, we would be divorced. My daughter would have been raised in a broken home. And I just look at, like, the family vacations forfeited, the family dinners forfeited. Like, he and I are talking together about my daughter's birthday. It's actually today, but we're celebrating it this weekend. And all of the special moments that we have together that I could have forfeited. And it took, well, I don't know if I had a lot of trust back then because I didn't know God as well. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, it was just to grit my teeth. I'm going to do it this way because that's what you said. And then over time, I came to see you wanted him to love me so deeply. Mm. Like, my husband has been my best gift to me.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I think it goes back to that, yes, Father. Mm-hmm. Yes, Daddy.
I trust you.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
But I also think that there's a lot of fear around the Holy Spirit.
I think you're right. I think for a lot of reasons, actually. I think sometimes we're afraid, like we see those, we've heard stories of back, like when there was all that holy laughter or the rolling, I don't even know what it's called. But I also think sometimes there are a lot of abuses done claiming the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so we're distrustful. One, we're distrustful when we see it. And then sometimes we're afraid to really live that out and to share it because we're afraid people are going to distrust us.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes to pride, right? It seems to always
yes,
come back to pride. But sometimes I think the fear is, like you said, how am I going to respond? What are people going to think of me? But then there's also the pride of those that want to, like you said, abuse that power or claim that they're using that power. And I'm reminded of Simon in Acts, right? In Acts chapter 8, in verse 18, it says, "When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. 'Let me have this power too,' he exclaimed, 'so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit.'"
You know what strikes me with that too is he was actually a believer.
Right.
Like he started as a sorcerer and then he came to Christ. And then it's almost like he's like, you know what? Yeah, I want Jesus, but I just kind of want my fame too.
Right.
And I think sometimes we can do that. We're even, and I have to check myself all the time. And I have to pray against my pride constantly. And I was sitting on this thinking about how, and I shared this with you, how I am putting out these videos on social media because I have to kill my pride daily in little ways because otherwise it just seems to grow. And when my pride grows, my fear increases actually and my stress increases.
I can understand. I can relate to that because again, pride is in all of us, right? It's what turned Lucifer into Satan. So certainly we're all going to be battling it. And I'm the same way. When things are going well or, you know, I'm trusting in the Spirit and he's carrying me along, suddenly it's like, oh, things are going well. I better keep this going. And the minute I do that is usually when something happens. I drop something. I drop a ball here or there. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. So
usually I can become ugly. Mm. I start competing with other people. I start fighting for my rights. I start being very task and agenda driven. And that's when, and then it's like I'm fighting for what's mine, quote unquote. Hmm. So it's like, and when you're fighting, in fact, I just met with someone today and we were kind of unpacking some things from just years ago. And I said, well, actually, you know, I think 90% of what was going on is I was fighting for, to hold on to something, interesting enough, that God had already given me, but that I felt threatened mm-hmm. in. But it's again, that pride. And once God killed that, and again, he has to keep killing that, or I have to keep killing it, keep killing the sin in me. And once I gave that up, there was just such peace. And it was like, you can shine, mm-hmm. you know, because Jesus over here is going to shine. And so I think pride can create just that if we always have strife in our life and we can point our fingers at everybody else, mm-hmm. but most often I think we can come back and say, am I really living for Jesus in this moment?
Yeah. And, you know, Jennifer, I'm laughing internally, so now I can let it out, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm like, oh, that's totally me, the control freak. I need to start controlling things. And what I'm thinking, sometimes I apologize, sometimes my brain goes faster than my mouth. It's control that we release mm-hmm. when Holy Spirit moves in, right? Mm. We're releasing that control, and we no longer feel the need to control and hold on and manipulate sometimes. And I think the peace comes because we can be in the passenger seat.
Right.
We don't have to drive anymore, you know? And it's a beautiful thing to know that God's in control. I'm in the passenger seat and I get to like take in the scenery, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if we need to pull over, he's going to do that. He's going to guide us wherever we need to go. So.
And I think too, not getting caught up in our expectations and seeing results. And I want to say expectations. And I think I do want to backtrack a little, just talking about, we all experience God differently.
Yes.
And we all hear from him differently.
Yes.
And I think we can get ourselves so worked up over, well, he spoke to Jennifer in this way, and he spoke to Kimmy in this way. He's not speaking to me in this way. And first of all, we all use different language. Mm-hmm. And so I use a lot of abstract language. You know, God isn't with this big voice in my ears saying, Jennifer, slaughter
right.
it.
Right.
But I do use sometimes some literary language.
Sure.
I guess symbolic language maybe, or I think abstract would be a better result. But I think we can also expect that I am going to have the same experiences as you do, Kimmy. So therefore, if you are out speaking on a podcast, then I should be speaking on a podcast. Mm. If I'm being used by the Holy Spirit, or if you write 500 words a week, then I should write 500 words a week. Or if you can manage your job and your kids, I should be able to do those things as well. And then and I feel like, again, it goes back to that daddy thing, mm-hmm. right? He's like, sweetie, that's not your assignment.
Right, right. And then I think we're stifling this, what the Spirit wants to do
right.
in us.
Right.
Because we think it's supposed, like you said, the expectation that we think it's supposed to look a different way.
Right.
Because that's what it looks like on you.
Right.
In you.
Right. Right.
Instead of just, again, releasing control, trusting the Father, have your way.
Right. And trusting him to be a good and loving dad. And I probably just want to talk about one more thing before we close this out, and just the importance of really waiting on the Holy Spirit. And I mess this up so often because I'm in such a hurry. Usually when I'm in a hurry, it's out of fear. Like fear and pride. Those are the two biggest drivers for me. And as I was thinking about, I was just thinking about when Jesus told his disciples to wait until you receive power before moving forward. And that's significant to me. And I feel like that's his call to me as well. Mm.
I think sometimes, you know, a familiarity. What's the word?
Yes.
I think sometimes we can become so familiar with scripture that we just quickly go over it without taking that pause to really think about what you just said. Jesus told them, wait for the gift of the Spirit.
Yeah. And so I think he often is saying that same thing to us, but it takes courage to wait. It takes courage to trust. It takes courage to move. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that today gave you a little oomph to just to trust that God is a good, loving guide who will give you everything you need to do all that he's asked. And he really does have good for you.
Let me close you in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much just for your goodness. I thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit that lives within us. The same power that rose Christ from the dead is in us. What an incredible gift. And so we just say, thank you, Daddy. And we receive that gift. And God, have your way. Move in us. Allow your Spirit to be seen in our lives so that we are a beautiful aroma to those seeking you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We would love it if you would rate this podcast. That helps others to find it. And it also encourages us as well. If you haven't already done so, make sure to subscribe and then you won't miss a single episode. And until next time, may you live as one who truly has been set free.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to Faith Over Fear, a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. To learn more about Jennifer Slattery or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, jenniferslatterylivesoutloud.com, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and edited by Stephen Sanders. A special thanks to our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey. For more Faith Toolkit podcasts like this, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.